Hey, everybody. Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast. Thank you for checking out another episode of the show. Today's feature is returning guest, The Cult Sounds. Had a whole lot of fun hanging out with these guys a while back. Sitting down, talking about their brand new record due out on May 14th. We give a little sneak peek at the first three singles off the new upcoming record and some stories behind these songs, recording, just a lot of fun talking about this stuff. So hope you dig it. We also get into a lot of movie talk and all kinds of other fun stuff. So I think you'll like it. Do want to remind you that Rock Paper Podcast is brought to you by Roughneck Beard Company and American Rambler, located here in St. Louis, Missouri, over in the Maplewood area off of Manchester. You can visit the shop for all your favorite all-natural beard oils, balms, junk powder, or one of my personal favorites, the Roughneck Beard Batter. Roughneck Beard Batter is the ultimate beard and skin moisturizer. It's a blend of 8 nutrient-rich soft oils whipped directly into unrefined shea butter for a moisturizing kick like no other. The highest amount of triglycerides and fatty acids available in the beard care market, hands down. World-renowned, but made right here in St. Louis. You can also shop 24/7 at roughneckbeardcompany.com and use my code RPP15 for an exclusive 15% off your purchase. That's everything and all your favorite oils, balms, whatever you even need. Or you can also shop at American Rambler for all your grooming needs. Lots of great products over there. Wonderful smelling products. And you can get your combs. You can get all kinds of things. Most of it all locally sourced. So it's a great way to support local business and help support this show. Also, big shout out to High Alt Sound for their continued support and help me make this show sound great. Shop highaltsound.com today and get yourself a brand new microphone. And if you want to continue other ways to support the show, another good one would be to visit buyjack.com/rockpaperpodcast and check out the merch store. We got some t-shirts, we got some hats and tank tops. And we've got the little Shaney shirts, the logo shirts, whatever you looking for, multiple colors, sizes. Hopefully we'll get you taken care of there at buyjack.com. And so thank you, everybody that's purchased those already. That, you know, really means a whole lot to me. So appreciate you doing that. And if you need me, of course, you can always find me at rockpaperpodcast.com. Hit me up on the email at rockpaperpodcast@gmail, the socials. Whatever it is, I would love to hear from you. I appreciate all you listening and continuing to tell friends about the show and helping grow this thing. So thank you, thank you, thank you, everybody. With that all out of the way, sit back, relax, and enjoy a brand new episode with my friends, The Cult Sounds.
Podcast is kind of like a, it's like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
Hi, I'm Bennett.
I'm Jordan.
This is Ryan.
We are The Cult Sounds, and you're listening to Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Scissors beat paper, paper covers rock. Rock beats, scissors, Shane covers nonstop. Never know what new kind of guests that he's got coming at you. Live and direct on the spot. Could be rock, folk, country, or hip-hop, jazz. All kind of folks that he has. Could be an artist or a comedian to make you laugh on the
Rock Paper Podcast.
Double decker fudge round rolling round town. Shane coming at you live and direct from ground zero. He's your hero, he's your bestie. Rock Paper Podcast with Shane Presley.
Paper Podcast.
Hey everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri. Hanging out today with returning guest, The Cult Sounds.
What up, what up?
Hey. Hey. Welcome back, guys.
It's good to be back. Yeah. It's been a while.
Yeah, yeah, been a little while. That I think we pulled it up October 2019, we last hung out.
Yep, that's right, yeah.
And that was definitely...
lots happened since then.
For sure.
Yeah. It's putting it lightly.
That was kicking off old spooky season, so we had a good time talking about some spooky movies and everything else. And so it was... but we got a lot going on now for the group. You guys have been hard at work doing a lot, especially during this pandemic thing. Keeping busy. But
for sure.
We got a big show coming up and everything else. So mm-hmm. we just thought it'd be cool to catch up and talk about everything. So, I guess, you know, I don't know. I don't like really like going too much into it because obviously it's everything that everybody's been talking about. But you guys... do all right through the pandemic. I mean, obviously got busy working on some new material and things and releasing some new music and like we're going to talk about, but do you guys find it was easier to create having some time off from things or was it harder to create?
I found it easier.
Yeah.
I don't know about you guys.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, unfortunately, yeah, it was kind of a blessing in disguise.
Yeah.
We had a lot of free time. A lot of time to work on stuff and a lot of inspiration for music, you know?
Because I think like some of that gets tricky because, you know, it's like, you know, there's obviously things to pull from to help inspire, you know, songwriting and things. But it's also like, also sometimes kind of hard to do so when you are, when it is such a bummer situation.
Oh, yeah.
I think what's helped me the most is just having the time to just like sit down because sometimes like, I'm not necessarily feeling inspired, but just like having the time to just sit down in front of my amp and computer and just like sometimes stuff will just come to you in the moment. And
right.
You'll do it that way. And so that's been my case anyway.
Honestly, a lot of our best songs on the record came from situations like that. I think while the time frame, how long it was frustrating for all three of us. But I think we have a better album now because it took so long.
Yeah.
I think some of the better songs were written later in the process than it would have been and it replaced some of the songs that
probably, had this not happened, this album would have looked very different.
Yeah, it would have looked very different. And I think it's
a
thousand times better and more cohesive because we had all this time because we had nothing but
time.
So we just went back and tinkered with everything and then ended up writing new songs and we were like, these are way more exciting to us than some of the ones we were going to have on the record. So
yeah,
we do have a lot of finished songs that are not on this album that we still really like. How many songs did we write for this album? Like 30 something?
Maybe 20 something at least. Yeah. But there's a lot sitting there. But yeah, I agree. Definitely. I think that this gave us time and gave us inspiration in a way. I don't know. I definitely felt
we didn't have a deadline either.
So. Yeah, true. Yeah, so we just could work and work and not worry about like where it was going exactly.
Yeah, yeah. That that's another thing too. Like you just like some bands. Obviously, all this stuff varies by the group of people, but you know, sometimes bands need a deadline to perform.
Yeah,
you know, sometimes that little bit of pressure.
Yeah,
you know, like
it's really hard to like to close the door behind you and say like, okay, I'm done.
Yeah,
with this project now, it's time to move on. That's been hard for us too.
Yeah, and then like the same thing, like when you have unlimited time to go back and keep editing, it almost becomes to where you can this track. You overdo it to where it's like now it doesn't even.
I don't even know what it sounds like anymore because it's I've heard it a million times. Yeah, definitely.
It's like we've gone through that Star Wars trilogy.
Yeah,
yeah.
We just keep going back and adding.
Yeah,
Gungans and whatever.
So
yeah,
I'm glad it worked out. We got we do have some. You guys have leaked a few of the singles out there. We're going to get into, but we do have a new record on the way here soon, and but let's talk about it. Let's drop in some of these tracks. Like I said, this has been out there for a bit, but this is a song called "What Gets Done in the Night," and was the first single from this upcoming release that you guys put out there. So let's talk about this particular song. What kind of comes to mind with this one?
Vampires.
Yeah,
it's a vampire song.
This one. Basically was totally inspired by the show What We Do in the Shadows. Yeah.
And that's why the title
is just a play on that. And it's basically just, it's a song about vampires. It's not much deeper than that.
Right.
It was, yeah, we were just really into that show at the time. And I don't remember, Jordan, you wrote that riff or something. We were like, well, let's do a song about vampires.
Yeah. And, cause the riff sounded like something from Castlevania or something.
It sounds very like Baroque and Victorian era.
And I remember I remember sending the file to them and it was just called What We Do in the Shadows. And Ben was like, let's just call it What Gets Done in the Night. Like, and I thought he was joking.
And then it just stuck. That's funny.
And then he sent the lyrics. He says, I'm done. And we're like, I thought you were kidding about the title. And he goes, no, I'm done. That's good. Those are the lyrics. And they work perfectly.
The show, of course, is very ridiculous. Tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah. The song is much more serious.
It's very morose and it's, more serious.
Yeah, the song obviously has to do with, like, the pitfalls of being, I guess, immortal or, you know, the loneliness, which actually worked pretty well with that time frame of the summer of the pandemic, because it was like the loneliest time in the world.
Definitely, yeah.
That song was written in a really productive weekend, I think. That was like the same time frame we wrote like 3 or 4 songs that were going to be on the album. Like that was a really productive time. I think it was, we wrote it in June.
Yeah. We wrote it May. In June and then, yeah. Yeah. And it didn't, it came out September, I guess. We dropped the single finally, man, we've been working August on this 14th. Record for a long time.
Yeah. And then we did a music video for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which was a lot of fun. We'd never done a music video before, but we'd all worked in like film production because we made short films together in college.
Yeah. Jordan had a couple friends who, run a production company, Shadow Pup Productions, and Ryan Neasel and Sam Dozier came out to Utopia Studios, where we've got our space, our recording, our rehearsal space, and they shot a video for us. And it I mean,
it's great.
It's our video, but
it's a cool awesome. Space yeah. already. Like all the walls are painted up with murals that different artists have come in and just like put their art up on the wall.
Yeah,
and we added some spooky Halloween touches to it.
Turned out really cool.
Justin, our drummer at the time, we like set it up so it looked like he was like in a spider web. We like threw a bunch of like cobwebs on him. We were all dressed up. It was
great.
It was a lot of fun.
It's pretty simple music video. It's a performance music video, but all the shots are handheld and he's just moving around catching different like.
Yeah, it's supposed to be like very like energetic. And that was one of the things that Ryan Neasel had in mind early on, because we sent him some music videos that we kind of wanted like the ideas to like meld together but in our own way, and he was like, okay, so we can shoot this like still like not still camera but like on a what you'd call like a gimbal, which is like a, it steadies the camera and you can move freely around the room and do pretty much whatever you want. It looks like it's on a dolly but it's free of the wheels. So there's like a lot of really cool action shots of like going from Justin on drums and then whipping around to Ben when he has an important line. So it's like, it feels very fluid. Like almost it's a false
almost one shot.
Yeah, yeah. Like a false one take.
Yeah.
It's really fun. It was a lot of fun to make. And
I covered myself in blood.
Yeah. Ryan did cover himself in blood. And I think we all became a little more stupid that night because we closed the door and lit like maybe 100 something incense
sticks of incense. Yeah.
And then had a fog machine going and we were just closed in with all that smoke and incense for hours. And
that's great.
I think I had headache for like 3 days.
It's all for the sake of art.
Yeah. It worked. But yeah, that was awesome working with. I wish Jacqueline could have come along because she's part of Shadow Pup too. But she unfortunately was not available to come work. She could have done some more of the prop stuff. But Ben and I did a lot of the props. Ben came over one night and we made all the skulls look really cool and did like the wax candles burned in them. And then we rubbed coffee on them, right? And then paint.
Yeah, they're just like some styrofoam Halloween skulls that we like painted up and rubbed coffee grounds and beer all over and made them look all dirty and old. And
they looked really gross.
I don't even know if we got a shot of them in the video.
Yeah, but it's so much effort went into the tiniest detail that probably does not show up on camera.
It was fun.
Yep.
That's a fun video.
Yeah. I guess that's on the YouTube channel.
Yes, it is on our YouTube channel, yeah.
So check that out for sure. But yeah, man, that's readily available wherever you're getting your digital music at now.
Yep.
And you can add that to your favorite playlist on wherever you're getting your music. So, but yeah, man, so I was listening on the way over. I started to, you know, just trying to get in the right headspace. And on my drive over, and I was listening to Pale White Horses. And that's a... So this came out in
December.
Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. I was thinking it was early 2020, but it was, right so that,
end.
Yeah. I was thinking 2020, early 2021. Yeah. Time.
All blurs together.
Yeah. All right, so December 2020, this track came out.
Mm-hmm.
And then this is you, second single, like I said. And this was another kind of just, definitely a lot in that type in that vein of that more dark and moody and stuff. Like it was just it was cool though. It was fun to hear this this song. And but what do you guys want to add to does anything come to mind with these lyrics or recording wise or anything else come with Pale White Horses?
I think we just set out to make like a really, it comes like in the middle of the album. So it's just kind of like the reset button of the album. I feel like it's just a really moody,
like a place to rest,
downtrodden,
very atmospheric
song. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cold.
Which we've never done before.
Yeah. Yeah. And then the whistle?
There's
like a,
Yeah. That was just me whistling. Yeah.
That was Ben's idea.
That was him trying to get the vocal melody down for what would eventually, lyrics.
Yeah. And then we just left it in. We thought it sounded good.
Yeah.
And
it's just a cool texture.
Yeah. Kind of remind me like that old Western thing, there you go. Yeah,
that was exactly it. Well, there's a little like bass walk in part of it that's very like it's a very country riff mm-hmm. that Jordan came up with that was kind of the beginning structure of the song, and it's really kind of a country ballad at heart. Like it was very heavily inspired by the Eagles, definitely. Like
yeah, very much actually. Like when we started that song. It was very much like an Eagles-esque type of thing, and it just got darker, and we kept building layers each chorus.
Yeah.
And that ending is so cathartic and big. And then going back and listening to it now, I remember, I think I said it to you, Ben, where I was like driving over here when we were going to record one night, and mm-hmm. I listened to Loving Arms by Elvis Presley, and I was like,
that's right.
Pale White Horses and Loving Arms by Elvis Presley are very similar style songs, so it was like weird that like in a roundabout way it was almost like an Elvis type, like a dark gothic Elvis type of thing.
Yeah,
but yeah, that song's a lot of fun. I
love that one.
That's really a really great song. I really love that song a lot, and we just had never done anything like that before. Right. We'd never done something slow because everything on the EP is very
really fast punk.
Yeah, energetic and punky in nature. Yeah. But
we got a couple more chill songs on the album too.
Yeah, there's like three songs right on the record that are more like moody and like slower, mid paced.
Yeah, I'm trying to think now. Besides Relinquish,
The Avalanche.
Yeah.
The Avalanche is incredibly
those are my three.
Epic.
Yeah, those are three of my favorite songs on the whole album.
I would agree. Those are great ones.
I can't wait for people to hear those.
And you guys did this all By Yourselves Again?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Like the first record?
Yep.
But
yep, Jordan did all the mixing and mastering.
Okay.
Yeah.
We learned a lot. We just so many tricks. And like just, we just did a lot more reading up on like technical things.
Right. Sure.
To where like we can actually do it properly because these songs are so layered and have a lot going on. I mean, there's just things that we never felt comfortable doing before that we were like, this is the only way that we can make this record sound the way we want. And we have to, like, we'd never recorded acoustic guitars before, and there's acoustic guitars on the last song in the album. And we were like, let's figure out how to do it. So we just made it work, and we went back and listened over and over again. And I think time helped with that, because we could listen to the album many times and go back and say, okay, all this stuff needs to be mixed a certain way. This needs to be changed, things like that. So we actually, like, learned how to properly do everything, and I think it sounds really good. I'm really proud of what we did.
Yeah, man. Very cool. Yeah, I you know, I'm even doing my own show, like, it's obviously it's all out there, very well documented, you know, but like I go back and listen to some of the early recordings. Obviously, you know, gear has a huge part to do with it, but just, you know, and having better equipment and everything today, but like just some of the stuff that we recorded early on, I'm like, man, it's kind of cringe now. It's like, just like,
sure,
just, you know,
you don't know what,
like,
you're doing.
Yeah, when I mean, you start. Like, yeah, we all start somewhere, mm-hmm. and it's like, oh, it's yeah. all your heart's in the right place, but you just don't have the knowledge or equipment to do it correctly. Yeah. What you wanted to do, you know. So it's like for me too. Like I as this show's evolved and everything else, like hearing some of the live performances that I've been able to record, and like again, I don't know anything about recording. I never went to school. I'm just a fan, and I try to capture something that sounds good, and I've been every now and then I'm like, man, shit, like it sounds really good. Like, you know, I surprise myself. I'm like, so it's just like it feels good to start, you know, where you can see that growth. You know, it's like from album to album or whatever you got, you know, whatever it is, project to project. The next song you're able to apply something you learned from the last one.
Oh yeah,
and you're like, all right, now we're finally getting closer and closer to that where we want to be at. And
yeah, and that that whole do-it-yourself attitude, it's very conducive to like a creative process, I feel like, because like there's no buffer between you and the work you want to put out. So if you're able to like get it from your mind to your instrument to
you can just be like whatever recording, you want,
then sky's the limit.
Yeah, man. But yeah, I think that's super cool that you guys are able to do this yourself, and it sounds great. And
it's an organic transition, and the growth, like you had said, if you go back and listen to the first thing we ever did, which was Bela Lugosi's He's Dead, there's such a difference. It's when I go back and listen to that, it's very muddy, and also you can tell that you and I recorded the vocals in the coal chute in my basement.
Into the phone, like not even into a microphone. I think we just did the vocals on the actual phone.
Yeah, because we didn't have a microphone then.
Yeah.
And honestly, our first EP kind of like felt that way to me too. Like listening back to that after making some new songs and then going back and listening to the first EP. And that's why we decided to just release a remastered version of it.
Mm-hmm.
Just like, okay, we have all this knowledge now. Let's apply it to...
Sure.
What we can, at least, to what we've already done, to make it sound a little bit better.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that the remix remaster sounds pretty good, I think.
Yeah, man. Well, now we got a brand new single. This is the third off this upcoming release. The Seventh Seal, available now, came out beginning of April, right?
April 2nd. This past Friday.
Yeah, so we got this out there. And this one, obviously, if you listen to Pale White Horses and this one, they're very drastically different. There's a lot of change, which is cool, like I said, to hear that different styles coming through on the record and everything too. But this one, like, definitely kind of more of that in that punk vein, I feel like, that you guys mentioned, especially like the chanting and like I always go back to the live show and imagine like the crowd participation. I imagine there's going to be a lot of fist pumping getting everybody chanting along and stuff. And
I think that's kind of the idea. That's kind of what we wanted in the chorus. We did this like big gang vocal, and that's kind of it's kind of something you can chant along to. But it's got a little bit of a groove to it. You know, you can kind of bob your head to it. But it's very like the chorus is very like old school AFI, like hardcore kind of. But it's weird. I don't know. It was a riff that, like, Jordan had on his phone from
2019.
Yeah.
That none of us recalled.
Didn't remember recording it, don't remember ever hearing it, and we found it couple months ago, and we're like, all right, we need to finish this.
Yeah, and within a matter of hours, the song was done.
Yeah,
like it was like the song already existed. Honestly, it was very similar to Nail in the Coffin.
Yeah, that it was just like
that song was written in a matter of hours,
real quick.
It was like that song existed already, and we just had to like actually do it. Like that was like meant to be a song that we had done.
Yeah.
I think you said it not that long ago, Ben, that song is like the sound when we first started playing, the sound that we've always been trying to capture.
I think so. Yeah, definitely. Yeah,
because it goes through a lot of different things. Like it's very, like Ben said, there's a groove to it. It's layered. There's choral vocals. There's bells. There's organs. There's rocking guitars.
There's a really cool like, guitar harmony too.
I was gonna say those like the dual guitar harmonies.
We wanted to do those for a long time, so
yeah,
we're finally getting to that. Playing that live is gonna be really fun too.
I love that the bridge section is pretty, which is not really something I would say any of our music had in the past.
That's true. Yeah.
So, I mean, that song is a lot of fun. I really love this song.
I do too.
Yeah.
I really like that one.
Content wise, I think it's some of my favorite lyrics of yours on the record. I know I say a different song every day just because if you ask me on a different day, I'm like, this is my favorite song on the album. Sure. But I love the lyrics on that. And then the sliding notes on the pre-chorus.
Mm-hmm.
I always like get chills listening to that. When you and Ryan do that in unison, I just love that kind of shit. It's mm-hmm. so awesome. And also I just really, as a film geek, I like that we kind of based the idea on the movie, the Seventh Seal movie by Ingmar Bergman.
Yeah.
Which is really cool. If anybody hasn't seen that movie,
I've never seen it.
No.
It's a Swedish movie from the late 50s about, a Christian crusader, like questioning the like life and the existence of God. And he has to play chess with,
he challenges death to death. a chess match because he thinks that it'll prolong his life. As long as he's playing chess with death, he won't die.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, like Bill and Ted.
Exactly like Bill
actually,
and Ted.
Actually, you know, yeah, it's a lot like that.
They ripped off Bill and Ted.
Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey ripped off the Seventh Seal. You heard it here.
Yeah.
Ryan's cracked the code.
That should be just about everything. Just like, oh, like Bill and Ted?
Yeah.
They touched on everything.
Yeah, right. I bought the third. I bought the box set.
How was it?
I still haven't watched it yet. Oh, I bought it and I haven't watched it. I mean, like,
I've heard it's pretty good.
The thing is, I talked about watching it with my buddy Dan, and he's been really like strict to quarantine. You know, he's been doing his part to. So we haven't got the chance to hang out. So I've been kind of holding off, waiting to watch it with him because he hasn't watched it yet either. So anyway, hopefully one of these days we'll actually be able to sit in the same room and watch the film together and stuff. But yeah, I kind of
forgot it came out.
Yeah. But, it looked like a lot of fun and kind of some mixed reviews online, but this was about anything that, you know, like you're just going to, I try not to pay attention to anything like that. I just try to get, you know, go in.
Any movie where the principals are 20 years older than they were when it was popular, it's going to be weird.
Except Blade Runner 2049. That was great across the board.
Yeah.
True.
All right. It's tough to like any of those films, like to try to, you know, do something that you did 20 years ago or anything else. Like you know, it's tricky to make it work and try to capture whatever that was, that what was great about the first one and stuff. But it's still fun for me to like see those guys in those characters and doing that. And like, I know there's been a couple of different kind of reunions and since like that, like, so either it's movie or like, especially, during the pandemic, we had a lot of them on, these like, it was a YouTube series I started following that I really like with, Josh Gad, where he was doing this, reuniting all these like 80s cast, for like, you know, just Ghostbusters and, you know, whatever, just like all sorts of like great cast of characters. And, nice. They did one with, The Karate Kid, and of course it was pretty funny because they were like, they got everybody together and they were like, Josh was like, yeah, we should, you know, get all the cast, you know, like, and then Ralph Macchio was like, Josh, you know, we kind of already do that every week on Cobra Kai, and he's like, oh yeah, but yeah, I mean, Cobra Kai is the same way. I don't know if you guys get into that series, but
yeah, I got super into Cobra Kai.
Yeah, I mean, but it's like, it's just a lot of fun to see them still doing these characters 20 years later or whatever. Sure. It's like, but yeah, it's and it's just, I think that one's just a right amount of cheese and just enough nostalgia to where it's like, it's a ton of fun. And but there's like a new twist on it too, so it's like, but anyway, yeah, I'm going on and on about goofy shows and movies.
I think we all got super into TV. TV shows, no, binging TV this past
year. Yeah, I watched way too many series.
Yeah. Well, we talked about the song live. Seventh Seal, planning to play that live and getting to in front of a crowd. And you guys will be finally getting back on stage.
Yes.
Finally.
May 28th at the Red Flag.
In
St. Louis, Missouri. Yes. And this is our friends in Arcangela's album release party.
That's right.
It is, yeah.
Yeah.
So
Ryan reached out to us and asked us and said, hey, you know, I really like you guys' music. It would be a good fit. So it was a no-brainer.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you guys haven't been on a stage in what, like, would you say 14?
14 months, something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, it'll be 14 months when the show happens.
Last show we played was Foo Bar, KO Dot, with KO Dot. Yeah. And I can't remember the other
thing. That was a great show.
That was a great show. Because KO Dot's like a avant-garde metal band. And I remember at the beginning of our set, all these people were standing there like with their arms crossed. They're like, oh, really? And then by the last song, everybody was had come up from the bar and they were like really rocking out. And was like, we won over an avant-garde metal crowd. They thought they were going to hate us. But each song, people were like, oh, this is pretty awesome. And came up to the stage. And that was a fun show.
Yeah. A really fun show.
A lot of fun.
That's got to feel good, though. Like I said, like, I don't know. I just feel like it doesn't matter the crowd. Like, it's just like, every show, it seems like, but it seems like people are kind of there for maybe the one band that they know or do like or whatever, or, you know, kind of thing. But like, it's got to feel good though to kind of win them over. Like, you can kind of read the body language that they.
That's always a good feeling. Yeah,
for sure. So
we do that a lot because we get put on weird bills where I'm like, I don't know why we're on this bill.
Well, it's always like,
we don't always say no to shows either.
Yeah. But I feel like, especially around here, we're either like the punk band on a metal bill, or we're like the metal band on a punk bill. You know, we kind of fall in between. So we never quite fit in with everybody else. So it's always a little weird. Like, it's always a little bit of work to win people over, but that's always fun.
Right.
Like when we see it happen.
I feel like we haven't failed in doing so.
Yeah, knock wood so far. We're going to fuck this show up on the 28th.
Can't wait. Come out and see it. We're going to ruin everything.
You can
with all these like replacements that we have coming in, like, we're trying to practice at least once a week now between now, because we just got everything finalized like a couple weeks ago with all the people we're playing with. So
it was the first time we've gotten together to actually rehearse in months. I mean, since September. Yeah, we haven't been in the room.
Like, even us,
the
people who like wrote and recorded the songs, we're having to like go back and be like, okay, how do you
relearn everything?
Like, let alone like introduce it to new musicians and have them learn everything and then get everyone in a room together and like learn it as a group. Like, it's still a work in progress.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Honestly, that's the funniest part is like, most of these songs we have not ever played. And they're like, well, how do you guys normally do this? And it's like, I don't know.
We haven't never
done it because we wrote this during a pandemic.
We're in this together.
So we are learning with you, but we practiced Friday. No. Wednesday, and it sounded
a lot better than it did just like the
just a couple 4 days before.
Yeah,
we sounded really tight, actually, like almost show ready. But like,
the first just couple weird, practices. Just relearning stuff that like was almost second nature like a year ago, and now I have no idea. I forget the words half the time. You know, I don't even got work to do
with the way we practice. I mean, we don't just stand around and like. Like, okay, you know, this part goes there, but we like drill the songs once we get like into like fight mode for the show. Yeah. We drill over and over and over again, and it's like every time we run through the set, it is a show. We don't just stand there. We're like, we're disgusting and hot and sweaty by the end of practice.
Yeah.
Really, really gross smelling room because we're sweating all over the place.
Gotta get used to playing standing up again.
We're like running around because we have a stage in our practice room. Like a drum riser stage. So we're like, you know, leaning on it and like jumping up there and like jumping off and stuff like that. Just trying to get into the habit of actually like playing again and not just standing there come time for the show and be like, hey, here's a song.
You can snag some tickets today at Red Flag. What is it? I should probably look that up. Make sure I nail it right. I think it's Red Flag STL.
I don't know. I should know it too.
Maybe I'll get this right. So we, redflagstl.com. You can head over there today and grab some tickets and join us. Again, that's Archangela's record release party featuring the Cult Sounds, Void Gazer, and Null and Void, right?
Yep,
yeah, that's their first show.
Yeah.
So,
that's new band to check out.
And if you guys said you hadn't been in there yet, but I went over there to Red Flag, and it's a beautiful space. They really did a lot of work in that room, and it looks awesome, man. It's like really.
I'm excited to see it.
Unfortunately, like the show I went, it was a great show, but it was only 100 cap, so everything was very. They were super stickler on temperature checks at the door, masks, everybody seated, you know, and tables and things. So they were doing their part to
even think about like seating. Are they going to do seating at the show?
I think they have like some tables at the back, yeah. Right?
Well, this is so hopefully, you know, May things will start by then. Hopefully things will be a little bit more relaxed. We're sure. Can move around a little more, but this is but anyway, it was like I can't wait to see that room filled up you know, with a nice rock and roll show in there and stuff. So there's going to be some good things coming for that space, but they did a lot of really good work over there.
Yeah, there were supposed to be a lot of awesome shows there over the summer that got canceled.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, it was everywhere. Like, everywhere. It was such a bummer. I was like, man, my calendar like was looking so good for 2020. I was like, man, this is going to be one of the best years ever. And then
just kidding.
You jinxed it. Right.
Yeah, I was like,
we had to cancel a bunch of shows too.
Yeah.
Everybody did.
Really cool.
Yeah, we were getting in the habit of playing like at least one show a month.
Yeah. We had to cancel a show at Sinkhole with a New Orleans band called Missing and our friend Gary Robert.
That's right.
That one sucked because that would have been a fun show. And also I miss Gary.
We had that Halloween thing that was going to be hosted by the Record Space that...
Oh, yeah.
In the Grove. Yeah, there was like a whole festival thing they were putting together that fell apart. And
yeah, we were going to co-headline with Bastard Squad.
So much.
And then... We were supposed to play Record Store Day at the Record Space.
Yep.
And then there was one more. I don't remember what it was, but...
Oh, well.
Even just as a concert goer, a lot of stuff got canceled.
Sure.
Simpson got COVID, and then I didn't get to go see him and Tyler Childers.
Yeah, that would have been a good night.
And then Jason Isbell has been rescheduled twice. Napalm Death was canceled.
Yep. Stinks, man. But
I'm just ready to...
I think we're getting there, though, because, like... I mean, they've announced, like... even festivals are coming back with they had
Bonnaroo was just announced. Yeah, that's so like, that's gonna be interesting
if they're all on board.
It's
in
September, right?
Yeah,
I think. I mean, obviously, there's a lot can change, but I feel like if they're all signed up and ready to go, like I think that we're kind of getting back to things are opening up.
Yeah, hopefully, so things are moving along.
Yeah, but the rate of vaccines are going.
Yeah,
yep,
it's actually going pretty well, and from everything I can tell, it's. Smooth.
Yeah, man. Rob Thomas and Santana.
Grammy Award winning. Yeah. Smooth.
Well, again, come out and see these guys. Again, it's going to be a fun night for sure. So
definitely.
But I've been having fun asking some of these questions. If you guys want to help entertain some of these for me. You guys are big movie guys. So we talked about sure. Huge Bill and Ted fans.
That's the only movie I've ever seen.
Just the second one, too. That's the one we talked about.
When the day comes, we have a Cult Sounds biopic. Who would you guys like to see cast to play you in the movie versions?
Oh, boy. Who's going to play Milo?
Him.
Starring Milo the
Dog. Yeah. Man, I don't know.
That's a good question.
I think Timothy Chalamet could play me, maybe.
That'd be good.
Yeah, that'd be good. He's going to have to put some lifts in his shoes, though.
Yeah, he's pretty short.
And you're not.
Camera work, make it happen.
We can shoot it up like the original Godzilla movie.
I mean, they make Tom Cruise look tall in some of those movies. So like,
that's true. You can stand on an apple box the entire time.
I kind of see like people say you look like Ryan Gosling.
I was waiting for that.
I kind of see that too, but he's a lot older than you are. He but the resemblance is there.
I don't think so. I don't see it.
I don't know. You got some more like facial. Features.
I know. People told me that. I don't agree. He's way more attractive.
That's true.
That's true.
I didn't want to say it, but
I'd say Meryl Streep.
Meryl Streep. Yeah, she could do anything.
She can do anything.
She can play you.
That's what I want.
Yeah.
I would. Yeah.
I would honestly watch a Ben movie starring Ben.
Can I change my answer? Yes. Meryl Streep for me too.
All three of us. Meryl Streep as the Cult Sounds.
Jeff Portnoy.
Yeah, Jack Black as Jeff
Portnoy. Actually, you know what? I want Eddie Murphy and Arsenio Hall to play all three of us.
Oh man! Speaking of sequels,
yeah,
that movie sucked. I hate to say it.
I love it.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, that, well, you listen to Hollywood? Let's make that happen. All right. If there was something you guys think you could get into the Guinness Book of World Records for, what would it be?
I know one for you.
What?
Most shits taken in a day.
Yeah.
Shane's like, I was talking about music.
Yeah.
Oh.
I mean, yeah.
We're a very poopy band. Most of our practice time is spent with us in the bathroom. I'm kidding.
He's not.
He's not.
This episode brought to you by Taco Bell.
Most black worn on stage.
Yeah.
Honestly. I don't know. What would...
I don't know. We're not...
We're not good at anything. We're not
noteworthy.
We're not good at anything.
Yeah. All right.
Most farts in an hour by Milo.
Hell yeah.
Smelliest dog.
Smelliest dog. That was also sampled in a song.
Yeah. So
I'm covered in dog hair right now, by the way.
What was like a barks or a growl?
Yes.
We did a cover of I'm a Teenage Werewolf.
By the Cramps.
By the Cramps, yeah. And so we figured it's like about a werewolf. So we'll get a sample of him growling, but he's like the nicest dog ever.
We had to really coax it out.
He only barks at people when they walk in the door, but he's not going to do anything to you.
All right.
So we had to play tug of war with him. And if you get him riled up enough, he'll start growling. So we just held a phone up to him.
Yep.
Yeah, I think we had to get Ben to come through the door.
Yeah, I had to like go outside. And
oh, that's right. He does bark on it too. Know who I was so yeah, anymore. We waited for you to get here.
Yeah.
Because that's the only time he'll bark.
So we like set up the microphone and stuff in here, and we're like, go on, go on, go on. Okay, and then now. He wasn't barking at Ben, and we were like, oh my God, the one time that we need him to, he doesn't do it. And then he finally did it, he's like at the end. We're like, okay, that's it.
Yeah. And there's like a, I think they call it canine, right? There's like a metal band.
The band with the two pit bulls?
Yeah, caninus or something like that.
What?
There's this metal band that's fronted by two pit bulls, but one of them died. So now
it's like a slam metal band. So, yeah. You know, their vocals sound real guttural and it's like dogs.
It's awesome.
So it's like that grindcore band with the grandmother as the grindmother.
Yeah, they're a gimmicky band like that. Yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
It's cool.
But that's what, like, I mean, at the same time, like that, audio only recording, you're just listening to it like it sounds
like a person just doing vocals.
it works.
That's art.
Yeah, so it just makes me laugh that like they were like they figured out a way to not have to pay a singer to do it. They'll just get some dog treats and then take care of the dogs and we'll be all right. What's a dream duet or collaboration you guys would love to see for the Cult Sounds?
Ooh.
Neil Diamond in the Cult Sound.
Yeah.
No.
I would love to work with Josh Homme from Queens of the Stone Age on something producing or like or you know, collaborating. That would be awesome. He's one of my heroes.
Yeah, that'd man. Cool.
Davey Havoc, since he likes our band. Davey Havoc from AFI. He does like our band, actually. We're not kidding. He has heard us.
Yeah.
And he does like us.
All right.
Which is cool.
Kurt Ballou.
Yes.
I want him to make one of our records.
Yes, I would love to have him produce our records. He's a master. Just so we can go to Salem, Massachusetts and stay at God City Studios.
Yeah.
That'd be so awesome.
Yeah.
Kurt Ballou is the guitar player from Converge, and he's recorded, he's produced so much music.
Everything he makes just sounds massive.
Yeah, that'd be so fun.
Modern day Phil Spector.
Except without the murder part.
Well, I mean, not yet.
Not yet. There's time.
What's a song you guys wish you wrote?
Ooh, man, these are hard questions.
I'm bringing the heat today, guys.
Happy birthday.
Yeah.
Yeah. You would be so rich. Be busting all restaurants for using it. No, use a fake version.
All right.
Spiders by Slipknot.
That's a good one.
I remember when that song came out, Ben was like, I'm aggravated that this song exists because this sounds like something we would write.
It sounds so similar to something we would do. Or would do eventually, and now can't.
Now we can't because it exists.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Speaking of, that's another show coming up. They got a little, blanking on his damn name now. Corey, right?
Oh, yeah. Corey Taylor.
Yeah, Corey Taylor, yeah. From Slipknot that pops, like, which would be interesting for sure.
Is he doing an acoustic show?
Nah, I don't know. I don't know.
Is he touring on that rap album?
I don't know what any of the details of it, but I mean,
that's cool.
I think it's just called like an evening with him and like, but yeah.
We should open it.
Yeah. But yeah, they're limited capacity. I just think it'd be cool to see him in a small venue like that. And
is it Pops?
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't tell you last time I was at Pops.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But it'd be cool.
I kind of forget.
Sold out like instantly though.
So yeah,
like,
I bet.
It's like, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I kind of forget Pops exists.
Yeah, over there in old beautiful Sauget, Illinois.
They're over there.
Yeah.
It's really lovely this time of year. What, all right, so both of you, or all three of you, I mean, if there was a band, say you're at the concert and the band's, you know, jamming, they pull you up on stage and they say, we want you to, you know, sing a song for the night. What's the song and what's the band? You guys get to front the band for one song for the.
We have to be in agreement.
No, you guys all three answer.
I think I know yours. Is it going to be Between the Buried and Me?
I'm not capable of playing the music.
Yeah, this is this is hypothetically that you know
if they were like pulling you up to play guitar,
right?
Oh, one of their songs?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. I guess. Yeah, it would have to be one of their songs. They're not just going to be like play Alice Cooper or something.
I'm a huge fan of Between the Buried and Me. If you couldn't tell, I got all their records behind you on the wall there.
Yeah,
but yeah, I guess I'd pick their longest song, which is Swim to the Moon. 17 minutes long.
I don't know. I would say like the Foo Fighters. I feel like that would be a blast to be up on stage with them.
Yeah.
I don't even care what we were singing. That would be awesome.
That would be fun. Just to hang out with Dave Grohl.
Yeah.
I've been talking a lot about Dave like on this show and like, I don't know, he's cool, man. Like he just, he seems like he'd be a lot of fun to party with for sure. So
yeah, he just seems like a chill dude.
I mean, all those guys, like they just.
Pat Smear, yeah. Taylor.
Yeah.
The other ones that I don't remember the names to.
Chris Schifflet. Yeah, he's a.
Yeah, yeah.
I like Chris a lot. I've been actually listening to his podcast a lot, Walk on the Floor. He has a lot of great guests on there that are kind of more country music and stuff. And, but he has a little bit of everything. But
is he the other guitar player?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he comes from.
Okay, so he's the one from Sunny Day Real Estate?
No, that's Nate Mendel. He was the bassist in Sunny Day Real Estate.
Oh, okay. I always get those guys confused.
But yeah.
Learn your foos.
There was you guys ever see that? It was on SNL, they did like, they used to do those cartoon sketches from Robert Smigel and stuff.
The Ambiguous Gay Duo.
Yeah, well, like there was one they did where. It was like something. It was like a mashup of Mr. T and the Foo Fighters, and like
wasn't it Robot Chicken? Wasn't it Robot Chicken that did that? I think.
I don't know. SNL did it. I know for sure.
Yeah,
it
was that.
But he goes, "Come on, we gotta go find some food."
Yeah.
And so I don't know, they did a couple of them. Like there was also one, and so I think at the end of that, he like says something. They took like all the. Mr. T kept saying, like, you know, stay in school, don't do drugs, you know, drink your milk and all stuff. And then, like, at the end of it, he's like, all right, stay on milk, drink your drug, or what? Like, he mixed them all up and, like, so made me crack up. But it was like some pretty good one. Let's go fight some foos. but yeah, I that would be a fun night for sure, getting to sing with old. Dave Grohl up there.
Hell yeah.
All right. What about you guys? We get some Cult Sounds action figures. what would be your accessory? Like maybe two accessories for each one of your action figures.
One of my hands would pop off and you replace it with a claw. And I would have an X-ray eyeball you could look through and see through walls.
Badass.
Oh, like the $6 million man
exactly
figure.
Exactly. Like, yes.
That's such a dumb reference. I don't know why I made that.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
A toy from the 70s that I wasn't even alive for? Why did I say that? That's so stupid.
Well, you did also.
I'd be like a Stretch Armstrong.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So we're all going to pick old-ass toys. Okay, then I'll be like one of the
you'll be a G.I. Joe. One of those weird ventriloquist dummies.
I would do guitar in one hand to be boring, and then a jar of peanut butter. Because I love peanut butter.
Sometimes you get hungry.
Crunchy or smooth.
So you're just like a collectible. You don't do anything.
No,
I just stand there.
You don't even take Jordan out of the box.
No, yeah. It's worth too much money.
I'm pretty much useless.
God, if I had the peanut butter, this would be worth so much more.
my action figure would be pretty much useless.
You're worth a lot of money, though.
Just to stand there with peanut butter.
You got Jordan with the peanut butter?
It's only available in Japan.
Oh no, it's got Skippy peanut butter. That's a bootleg.
That's a knockoff.
The Jif Natural. That's the real figure.
Yeah, man.
That's my brand of peanut butter. The Jif Natural.
Proud sponsor. Yeah.
Dude. Yeah.
Yeah.
Peanut butter sponsor the band.
Let's make that happen.
If we could have sponsors, I would love to be sponsored by peanut butter. Not by guitar companies.
Just peanut butter.
Just peanut butter.
Yeah.
Yeah, if we ever get big, that'll be on your writer.
7,000 jars case of peanut butter.
I've been making my face on their logo. Hopefully they don't send me any cease and desist, but I've been trying to mention Little Debbie as much as possible, hoping that they would
start opening it up.
Yeah,
Little Shane.
That's great. I love it.
So, big fan. Hopefully they'll start sponsoring my show. That's one of my life goals.
They should.
Yeah.
Or sue you.
Yeah, well,
it's one or the other.
Both would be a lot of fun.
Either way, you're going to get some attention.
I figured, yeah, if I get on their radar and I get that, they're like definitely going to give me some street cred. So,
oh, yeah.
And if they sue you, I guarantee you so many people would turn against them that they would have to, they'd have to rescind their lawsuit or whatever and then give you some attention.
Wow, this pastry company is really going after this guy from St. Louis. Have a heart.
Yeah. All right. What about what's a movie or TV show you wish you were in? Like, is there a certain world you guys think about? Like, man, that'd be cool to be in that.
You look like you have one.
I got two. They're basic answers, but I mean, like Breaking Bad and Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Why would you want to
be in either of those?
You die.
Those were my first two thoughts too, and immediately I was like, what?
Oh, to like actually exist in a reality
in that world, not to like be favorite show, like to exist in the world.
I thought you meant like to like cameo in or something.
No, to exist in that universe.
Oh, no. Those are terrible answers.
You die in the first episode. You'd be the guy that gets taken out in the first 5 seconds, like Bryan Cranston in Godzilla.
Shit.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, sorry, everybody. In 2014's Godzilla, he gets killed in the first 15 minutes. Oh, man.
Gotta have one, Jordan.
All my favorite movies I would never want to exist in. Because that would be a really bad existence. Without American Summer.
Yes. Yeah.
So good.
It's the never-ending summer camp.
Yeah.
It's your life.
And I can be as stupid as I want.
That would be perfect.
I'm a big fan of Chris Maloney in that movie. It's so good. Like,
which one is he?
He's the cook.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Gonna hump my hump the fridge, so fondle my sweaters.
Yeah, I'm gonna go spread.
Ben went us in for Halloween.
Smear mud on my ass. Yeah,
what'd you say? I said I'm gonna
fondue with cheddar.
Make fondue for dinner.
Yeah.
Listen here, you cigarette smoking piece of shit. I was in the Vietnam War.
Yeah. There's a movie called Deathgasm. You guys remember Deathgasm?
Yes. Yes.
That would be fun to live in a world where just like everything is metal all the time. And you solve your problems with a guitar.
That's the world you live in now.
Slay demons.
That's what we're trying to do. That's the world we're trying to build.
Like Bill and Ted.
Yeah.
Exactly like the one movie I've seen. It's all coming full circle.
Then you can save the world. Dewey Cox world, Walk Hard.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's like my favorite movie ever. Hands down. Walk Hard, Dewey Cox story.
Yeah. That,
You guys want to recite that movie right now?
That or School of Rock. Let's do it.
There was a good chunk of time where I had that Let's Do It stuck in my head and just like on repeat and like just.
That's such
Let's
a banger.
Do yeah. it. Yeah. In my mind, you're blowing me. Some kisses.
So. Honestly, all the songs in that movie are great.
They're, yeah. yeah. he's like a really good musician. He's a really good singer.
Chauncey it's the Riley. Same with like Tenacious D. Amazing. Like I'll laugh the first time, then I'll be like, man, that song.
Then it starts
really
making you think.
Yeah. Then you start thinking.
I'm really thinking about the philosophy behind.
Can't you see he's a man? Yeah. You applaud.
He, especially like the second record. Like, so the first, obviously the first stuff's like a lot more silly, but the. Like the roadie and like, I mean, there's like there's,
the roadie gets stuck in my head all the
they're
time.
Like, I mean, they're like a lot more serious. Like, they're still funny. They're still fun to them,
but it's true. Like those roadies do work hard.
Yeah, but there's a lot more actual like you know real like songs and
really
like,
well crafted. Yeah, they're like they hide their musicianship behind the comedy, but they're
it's
good. Not.
It's I just listened really to Post Apocalypto on my way home from work that's just awesome. Yesterday, singing every line, even the spoken word ones where they're just talking to each other. Yeah. I'm like,
I saw. So they did an April Fool's joke, and it said Kyle quit the band.
I saw that.
I saw that.
And I'm like, I started reading some of the comments. I don't know if maybe they, you know, obviously people probably just playing along and stuff. But like, there was a lot of like stuff like that people like. Thought it was for real or something, you know. I felt like that's what I felt like. Again, it's hard to tell in just text, but like, I was like, how do you call yourself a fan and not realize, like, the reference? You
know, if that actually, like, I knew it wasn't real because the world would have ended.
Yeah,
the greatest band of all time split up.
Yeah, they're done. Hell would have opened up and swallowed the earth,
and Dave Grohl as the devil would have come up.
Killed. All comes full circle.
It's all about Dave Grohl, guys.
But yeah, I actually got to meet Jack and Kyle one time.
No way.
Yeah, that's cool. They played the pageant and they did a record signing at Vintage Vinyl before the show, and I got my copy of Rise of the Phoenix autographed and
stuff. Oh, that's awesome.
So,
that's cool.
Yeah, it was
that's really cool.
That would be so awesome just to like do the We're Not Worthy thing. JB and KG.
Yeah. It was like, yeah, I mean, super brief.
Sure.
But, you know, they were moving. They were moving the line around real quick, trying to get everybody through. And but you know, still cool just to say hey, what's that's up? Awesome. You know, for a moment. So
I would have him sign my Blu-ray of School of Rock.
Yeah.
Sorry, Kyle. I know you're not in that movie. But oh no, he is.
Pick of Destiny.
I don't have that movie.
Oh, well, that's what you get him to sign.
He is in School of Rock. Actually, he plays the gym teacher.
He does.
Yep. You're right.
I think that's him, isn't
no,
it?
No, that's not him.
Him.
No, that's not KG.
You sure? It looks a lot like him.
Looks, it's a white guy.
It's a bald,
white guy.
Bald white guy. They all look alike.
Rage Cage.
They're all the same.
All right. If you guys were able to create a new curse word, what would it be? Was there?
Let's all say a syllable.
Rigusney.
Oh yeah.
Rigusney.
That's it.
Rigusney.
That's what all the kids are saying these days.
Gusney.
Watch your mouth.
Don't you dare regus me.
Do any of you do any celebrity impressions?
I'm sure we do.
Besides looking like Ryan Gosling.
I can do Michael Caine.
You do a good Jack Sparrow too.
Why's the rum gone? Why's the rum always gone?
I feel like we do a lot of celebrity impressions like all the time when we're just like hanging out and talking.
Stupid. I feel like there's. You can do Rob Zombie.
Yeah! Frankenstein! Wolfman! Dracula! Woo! Oh, yeah!
Oh, yeah!
Everybody's fucking in a UFO! We always make fun of Rob Zombie.
Hillbillies! Carnivals!
We're big Rob Zombie fans. Hear,
yeah, we love Rob Zombie. We make fun
from a place of love.
We make fun of him all the time. Especially his newer stuff, because it just seems like he tries less and less. So we're just like, we write.
He knows what he's doing. He knows what people want.
Lunar Kool-Aid, whatever the fuck the name of the album is.
Just songs about werewolves and cars.
Frankenstein. Slamming in the back of your Dragula.
Yeah.
Which actually makes no sense, because the Dragula is a
car.
Yeah, but it's not the Munster Mobile.
What is it?
The Dragula is the dragster race one.
Well,
but I guess
that's what served the song, Jordan.
Yeah, I guess it fit better. You couldn't slam it in the back of your Munster Mobile. Wouldn't have been as big of a hit.
Slam it in the back of my 1960 whatever the fuck.
It's factually incorrect, Rob.
All right. Took some creative liberties with it.
Too many. Too many. It's unbelievable now. I can't even get into it.
Get out of here.
He's apparently going to make a Munsters movie.
All right.
Yep.
Which I think will be probably awful. The Munsters are going to be a hillbilly white trash family who say fuck a lot. Like all of his movies.
And you said that's going to be awful?
Yeah, I mean... yeah, I just saw, obviously it's not related, but just thinking a new movie's coming out. I saw the trailer for the new Space Jam.
Yeah, I just watched that.
Yeah, just watched it.
There's a trailer out?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
That was what he was just talking about when we were sitting here, and he was like, what is going on?
There's so many, like, King Kong and the Iron Giant and, like, Drogon from Game of Thrones show up, and I don't understand what's happening.
But definitely, like, that... In the trailer, there's like that scene where everybody, and it's just like, it definitely feels like they ripped off Avengers, like Avengers Assemble.
I feel like that's what they're trying to do.
It's like everybody shows up and stuff. Like,
with none of the work put in.
I think it's going to be like, none of the work. Really reference heavy to other material and be like, remember this other thing that you liked?
Right.
Well, now it's in this movie. Yeah. And
the like 3 seconds.
And they're playing basketball.
They're playing basketball.
The stakes have never been higher.
Is Danny DeVito as one of the aliens in this one?
Oh, you better be.
Got to bring back Danny DeVito.
I don't think there's even aliens. They're like it looks like the Fantastic Four. Like the
I don't know.
The
I
other team that they're the you got to watch it, man.
Yep.
The 3 seconds you showed me, I was like, it looks like Ready Player One. I'm not interested.
That's what like the first comment said too on the video.
Oh really?
It looks like Ready Player One.
Yeah, there was a lot I didn't really care for in the trailer, but I'll still give it a shot, and I hope it holds up and redeems. But like, I mean, obviously the original is so good. And so good. But like the first like thing I was really like, what? Like, I didn't like that LeBron goes to the Toon World and becomes a cartoon too. Like, also, like I didn't
yeah, that was
what?
Weird.
Screw that.
Yeah.
Yeah. He goes in and turns into a cartoon, and then I guess they come back out into the real world and all the toons become real, like, fucking Sonic the Hedgehog CGI creatures.
I don't like that.
What?
I don't like that.
I don't know.
That's
don't
what the kids want.
Yeah.
I don't like that at all.
There's a lot
that sounds really bad.
Flat cartoons are boring.
Yeah.
I like my flat cartoons more. Honestly, if that movie doesn't end with Michael Jordan showing up and dunking on LeBron James,
they're going to have a Michael Jordan cameo. He comes in and scores the winning point.
Right. Or he's betting on the games and he gets in gambling debt again. Yeah. I took that personally.
I just hope Bill Murray's in it.
So. Oh, yeah. They should bring Bill Murray back.
Right.
He like pushes LeBron into shaving points off the game.
Well,
we should have that movie.
Yeah. Why didn't we get the call, guys?
Yeah.
Well, again, find the cult sounds all over your social media. Get involved wherever you're getting your digital music at, and spin these 3 singles out there, get you, hold you over till we got this rest of this album coming soon.
I don't think we said the name of the album on this, did we?
Well, yeah, what's the official title?
The album is called The Death of a Star.
And
it should be out in May. We're hoping.
Yeah.
We're hoping in May.
Real confident.
I'm
about
Ron
that.
Berg. Yeah. Also, we have shirts and stickers, so please buy them.
So buy some shirts and stickers and represent.
They're really good.
Like maybe pick one up May 28th.
There you go.
Red Flag and
Or two. Pick up two of them.
Yeah. Check us out wherever you get your music. If you like what you hear, come see us play.
Yeah.
Please.
Yep.
Please.
Yeah. Again, come on out to see that Archangela album release show. It's going to be a great night of music and support some local St. Louis music for sure. So. But yeah, guys, it's been a ton of fun. I'm really glad we made this happen today.
Absolutely. Thank you, Shane.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks for doing this, and I will see you guys soon.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks, little Shaney.
Stop. He's going to get sued.
Yeah. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Rock paper, rock, paper rock paper podcast.
Rock paper podcast.
Rock paper podcast.
Well, yeah, that was it.